the lower 48. I think what the people wanted to do, this is just my idea, is preserve their rights with regarding land. And how they came up with the corporation part, I don't really know, because that part I wasn't familiar with. That's why I think that if that was the essence of the act, was self-determination through control of their own lands, then 1991 is too close. Because some of the organized corporations, as I said, the village corporations, aren't even ready now in this day to do what they're going to have to. They should be planning right now, and they're so busy surviving, they don't have time to, or the money to plan for 1991. So, as I said, I don't know, and I can't remember that. It's too far, but I think the essence behind it was preservation of land. And it appears that 1991, well, I can see, and I've said this many times to the board, that if we don't ever issue a stockholder a dividend, come 1991 and somebody offers them $10,000, what are you going to do if the land has never done anything for you, or if the corporation has never done anything for you? Probably by 1991. I think in the case of the Lucians, maybe, we're a little bit different, is that we're not a land-subsisting person. We're water-oriented people. We don't have anything to subsist off the land out here. But the water, which we don't have really control over, is where, you know, the fish and the seal and, yeah. And come from.
Yeah.
Getting back to surface and subsurface, the other part that I'd like to speak to, and maybe it's speaking to the regionals, is that we would like the time to plan, have land use planning on our own land before the regionals come in and do whatever they want. Most of the villages, as I say, are not in the position to do that. They don't have the money for land use planning. They don't have the expertise. And even in our corporation, which we're a little bit ahead of the others, are just barely beginning it. And yet we have this land use problem of the subsurface owners.
And since you people in your corporation don't use the land for subsistence, the development of subsurface resources may turn out to be more important to them than it would be to people still using the land for subsistence. Is that?
Well, I guess you'd say sand and gravel is the issue here out in the Aleutians. And you know, when the regional corporation wants to remove a mountain, for instance, or remove our sand from our playground, we literally have hardly anything to say about it. So I guess I'd say is that we would like time to plan our land use.
How many shareholders are there in your corporation?
269.
And about what proportion live here in Alaska?
60%? I can't remember the numbers. That's probably right, yeah.
And you've selected and gotten in all your land, have you?
All of it has been patented or almost patented, right? 90, yeah, close to it anyway.
And have you you were speaking of dividends. Has your corporation been able to pay any dividends?
Yeah, we paid a dividend once or twice. Once. And that was a struggle, was it?
Well, you're really saying that you think 1991 should be postponed, too.
Well, I thought about it, and I thought, in order for us, who are a little bit more sophisticated than some of the other villages, having time to plan our land, it isn't enough time for us. It isn't enough time to do a good land use planning, because we don't know what's going to happen, how it's going to be taxed, or whether we'll lose it all, whether we can even afford to pay for a taxing system.
Yeah. So you think the opening up of the sale of shares should be postponed, and any possibility of taxing undeveloped land should be postponed too?
I tentatively think that, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know enough information on the real. I haven't heard all the pros and cons about.
Right. Well, let me just put it to you this way. In this area, you say people don't use their land for subsistence. You made the point that maybe it's a little different from other parts of Alaska in that sense. Is it your feeling that people still want to hold on to their land?
Yes, I think so.
Right. Okay, thanks very much.
I'm Emil Barakoff with the Unalaska Aleut Development Corporation.
Yeah, that's the nonprofit.
That's a nonprofit corporation.
You're the
executive director.
Executive director.
Right. And I feel real strongly that the 1991 issue should be delayed until all of the present issues now are settled. Specifically, 7i subsurface. That's one of the biggest ones, I think. Now,
the surface subsurface issue.
Yes, that's very confusing. I think at times how deep is surface, and where does subsurface start? Real confusing, I think, and it's the whole act is confusing in parts. I think it is attorneys' welfare bill or whatever. It keeps them going, and it really drains a village corporation. We need attorneys to define a lot of the act, and we still don't get clear definitions from the attorneys, because there, I guess there is no real solid definition of a lot of parts of the act. And none of the villages, I don't think, had any say in the Land Claims Act, except for a few individuals that got in this area, and Henry Swanson was one of them that got Dutch Harbor or Mackinac Island available for selection for the Unalaska Corporation. But other than that, I don't think there was any villages that had any say in what was in the act or how it should be worked. And in the first years of the Unalaska Corporation, I was president, and it didn't work out to be a problem, but we were supposed to.
That's the profit.
The profit corporation, the last corporation. But we were supposed to run all our, or afford the regional corporation the opportunity to look at all our expenses and how we're to spend the money. And we didn't run into any real problems, but it could have been a problem if we had a regional corporation that wasn't really working with the villages. And well, there's one of the concerns about of a lot of the stockholders is no benefits for the elderly. That's a lot of the elderly people were involved in the corporation in the beginning. And a lot of them have passed on, and they've never benefited, and never will, I guess. And still we have elderly people. And then the cutoff date is sort of confusing, I guess, because you have no natives after 1971, according to the Act, unless you're deeded or transferred to shares. And a lot of the other villages within the region are so small that they don't have enough money to do a lot of the planning that should be done before 1991. I know the Unalaska Corporation had a hard time even getting started. We had money, but not enough money to really get started like it should have been. And still there's a lot of work ahead, and only 6 more years left.
You, there's a couple of things that maybe I could ask you about. Mrs. Grimness said 1991 should be postponed, and mm-hmm. you seem to agree. One thing you might think about, I don't know the answer to it, but I think you should consider it, is that if you postpone 1991, then you may be postponing some of the problems, and the problems may get worse if you wait until 2001. Let me give you an illustration. When somebody dies and leaves his shares to others, he can leave them to anybody he wants. So since 1971, a lot of shareholders have died, and about 20% of the people who've acquired shares on the death of a shareholder are non-natives. That is, they're not qualified to be enrolled under the Act. Mm-hmm. That body of, and they're disqualified from voting under the Act until 1991, and if you extended 1991, they'd be disqualified from voting for another 10 years. But if you extend it for another 10 years, you might find that that body of non-native shareholders keeps growing. And by the year 2001, they might be a very vocal lobby. It may be somebody in Kansas City who's got shares, or somebody And they may be a vocal lobby saying, look, we want to sell our shares. We don't want any restrictions placed on us. The other problem you might have, you said 60% of your shareholders live here, 40% live, I guess, in Anchorage and places like that. I wonder if you postpone 1991, if you'll have, you know, might be 60-40 the other way. And I'm curious whether those people who have left on Alaska are more likely to be willing to sell their shares when the time comes, don't care that much about the land. I might be wrong on both counts. Just think people should.
Well, I don't know if you should postpone another 20 years. I think it should be postponed until each region or village is ready. You know, you don't set a date and say, this is the date, whether you're ready or not. Maybe make a end date that has to be, our shares come up available, but maybe this corporation is going to be ready in 4 years. And maybe that should be the way it should go, and not in a date and like the land claims, 1971, that's it, no more.
Some people have said, I should have asked Mrs. Grimness these questions, but it didn't occur to me until you got here. But some people have said, well, the answer to all of this is if in 1991 people want to sell their shares, then the corporation should have the right to buy them back, buy them out at fair market value. And that's an interesting idea. But if the corporation can't buy the shares, if it doesn't have the money to buy the shares, then anyone who wants to sell would insist on being able to sell to whomever can pay a fair market price. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the workability of a buyback scheme? Do you think the village corporation or the regional corporation could do that?
I think it'd be possible for the village corporation to do it. It's been discussed before on the first right of refusal on the stocks, and that's one option.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Oh, I understand you were president when the 14C3 lands were reconveyed. Is there anything special about what happened then that you think you might tell me, or does it just happened?
It just happened, yeah.
Yeah. What about the cemetery site? Is that anything special in this connection? Okay. Right. Well, who would like to be next?
I'm Pat Gregory, board member of the Unalaska Corporation and also Unalaska Alley Development Corporation. And first of all, I'd like to say I'm glad, you know, you're here with the coming up with Inuit Circumpolar Conference and all, because I think it's a high priority that we bring out this, you know, the issues that all the villages are questioning and all over Alaska too. You know, I've only been in it since about 79, 80, you know, really involved with the Native Claims Act, but I was in college for 2 years, and it opened my eyes to see for the first time really what the Native Claims Settlement Act was. Here, you know, going to high school, we didn't really know much about it. We just learned it from day to day in the book stuff, read it, and never were explained what was meant. And then what I'd like to see is more and more education primarily for the kids, and as well for the village and the regional corporations and all over Alaska too. It's just, you know, we're all grown older, and then come 1991, a lot of our younger generation people are going to be learning just like we're learning, and it's just, you know, it's hard 20 years to figure out what the Native Claims Settlement Act is. It's overwhelming. So, you know, coming, they say after 1971, you're not a Native anymore, you know, are not eligible for the settlement stuff. And here, you know, like Emil and Kathy said too, you know, who are we gonna give our land and stuff to? Our, you know, we don't know who's gonna get our land and stuff. It's just, we have to somehow or another, if not postpone 1991, but to everybody work together and learn to understand 1991. And, you know, like this is working together. And I worked with a couple other regional corporations, or just talked to them and brought up some good issues and was really happy with that. But come 1991, you know, I don't know what I want to see. You know, I don't want to see all the land taken away, first of all. I mean, I don't want it sold all out, because, you know, this is where I was born and raised, and I want to see, or at least have some say, what's going to be put up next. But, you know, everything else, it's just I'm in the learning process as well as everybody else day to day. You know, I like to hear any changes or hear what's going on, and all I, you know, really was saying is hoping that this could all open it up to educate everybody from 1971 on forward, because those are our people that are going to be here in 1991.
I should say, as I told you, I've been asked to do this by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. The World Council of Indigenous People, which is an organization of Indians in North and South America, is co-sponsoring this commission. And they want my report not only to make recommendations for Alaska Natives, but also to give advice to Native people in other countries and their governments about this settlement and what lessons can be learned in other countries. In Canada, land claims in many regions are being settled now. In Greenland, the land claims have still not been settled. In Scandinavia, the native people there haven't yet settled their claims. They're just beginning to advance them. And some of these people have asked to come to Anchorage, where we're holding some of these hearings. Some have been there already, mm-hmm. and some are coming this fall and winter. So we hope to learn from them, but we also expect that they can learn from what's happened here. Mm-hmm. So, well, thanks very much.
That's good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm Vern Robinson. I was Deputy United States Marshal here for 15 years. I have 5 Aleut kids and represent them. And I don't know if there's anything been said about the inherent rights of the natives or not. But I think it could be an issue. And they've given the natives a pile of Navy junk over in Mucknuck Island and a few other parcels of land in the immediate vicinity of Unalaska. And they overlook the real potential of the Aleutian Islands. At one time, it was Bureau of Land Management that controlled the Aleutian Islands, and then it's a bird refuge. I was offered the job of management of the Aleutian Island Bird Refuge. And
when was that?
Oh, it's been a long time ago, probably 15, 20 years ago. But the program they had was such that it made me believe that it was primarily for a job for some tax eater, job for government employees. And then at one time there were over 30,000 Aleuts in the Aleutian Islands, and first the Russians came, and there's books written about the treatment of the Aleuts. And if you read all of them, the treatment they made it out to the natives was not very good. Then comes the American fishermen and most of the white people, and this resulted in land claims. I've heard it said so many times that the native claim was established by attorneys for attorneys, and since there's so many lawsuits pending in the courts today, why, that probably rings true. But I think that the natives should have inherent rights to the Aleutian Islands, and I think that they ought to have equal rights with the birds. So that would become quite an issue. And the reason they should have the Aleutian Islands would be to raise stock. There's a great many islands that would be suitable for stock raising. And at one time on Kanaga Island, they leased the island to a company, the Kanaga Ranching Company. And the Kanaga Ranching Company leased the islands for to raise foxes. And then they got the idea that they'd like to raise some Angora goats. Well, they were shot down by the Bureau, not the Bureau of Land Management, the Fish and Wildlife Service, which had jurisdiction over the lease in the islands. And they couldn't raise goats because the island was leased for foxes. So if the natives had the rights to raise stock, sheep, cattle, goats, it would become a good income for the natives or for anybody else that did it. Now, I've heard it said that a great many Aleuts wouldn't do anything about it. Well, even if they didn't want to do anything about it, if they had the land, they could lease it to somebody that would do something about it. And there's a potential there that is immense. Now, the natives up around Nome are selling reindeer at, I understand, $5 a pound on the hoof. Well, the islands that wouldn't be good for cattle raising would be suitable for reindeer. And then there's other things that they could raise. And then there's the fish industry that could be established. And there's a joint venture out in Attu, and they're catching the Attu mackerel. And there's an abundance of the Attu mackerel in Attu and in that vicinity. So that could be an Aleut venture. So I think there should be something done about the possibility of getting the land for natives or anybody else that wanted to raise sheep or cattle. At one time, there were 15,000 head of sheep on Nikolsky. There were 15,000 head, over 15,000 head on the east end of Umnak. There was, I think the last count I heard was 3,500 of sheep on the west end of Unalaska Island. And there was an attempt made to raise sheep on this end, but the dogs killed all the sheep. And then there's still cattle and horses that this man brought up here, and they thrive. It's a grass country and it's a grazing country, and it has a wonderful potential. I'd say that the Aleutian chain of islands would be the meat market of Alaska. So then I've heard about land sales, and in my opinion, I don't think that there should be any land sales. They could lease whatever land they had that could establish steady income for them. And sometimes it's been known for natives or even white people that get drunk and they get a hangover and they want some money, so here comes a guy with a pocket full of dough and he shakes a few $100 bills under a guy's nose and gets what he wants. And that could be avoided if it was impossible for them to sell the land. So I think that's about all I have to say.
Well, thank you, Mr. Robinson.
Ben.
First off, I want to say I'm very nervous. My name is Margaret Lekanoff, and I, September 6th and 7th, oh, I'm with the Unalaska Corporation, Secretary Treasurer. September 6th and 7th, I was in Dillingham, Alaska for a 1991 retreat. It's the first one I'd ever gone to. And in that retreat, there were a lot of concepts that they worked out and had work sessions on, came up with resolutions that will be refined through a process of going, like, it's put on by the Alaska Federation of Natives, and it'll go from, it's to go to the villages, and then in the AFN convention they will be having workshops, I guess solidly for days, 3 days on 1991, the issues, and then it will go to a special 1991 convention in April of 85, and at that special convention, decisions will be made that will be taken to Congress, and this will be all the village corporations and all the regional corporation inputs. Some of the things that were brought up was, not only are the children born after 1971 not eligible, but there are a lot of Aleuts that didn't, or not Aleuts, I should say natives, that didn't register, that were qualified, and they just didn't, or the circumstances, you know, they couldn't because, like, some people might have been in the service or something. And not only that, they're also talking about the bloodline, like the Aleut bloodline, is diminishing year by year by year. And they're trying to change the blood quantum to read, you know, no, I mean, an Aleut, a descendant of an Aleut, but not having to have a quarter blood. And, you know, because our blood is thinning out gradually, little by little. Prime example. And let's see. Oh, I'm nervous. It's going to be fairly interesting. This 1991 in at the Federation, you know, AFN, thank you, convention, because it's going to, their main issues are going to be 1991, and it's going to be interesting, and they are wanting to extend the date, you know, and like I said, this is my first time there, so I didn't really participate. I was more like an observer or fact-finding mission, and the elders were another issue, and forming land banks of developed and undeveloped land was another thought. Basically, protecting the land and not just, you know, throwing it away. And we do want, they did want to extend the date. Don't ask me any questions.
I'm Father Gromov, priest with the Russian Orthodox Church, and I'm a member of Cognac, not the Aleut Corporation, Old Harbor Corporation. And I also work in the school as a teacher for the Aleut language and the culture. I have here more questions than answers. I've been reading on
the... We have the answers first.
Well, I was reading on the places you went. I borrowed the papers from Ray Hudson and read up on the places you went throughout Alaska. What is at stake? Stock alienation that will be at stake. Then corporate bankruptcies. I suppose a lot of our native regional and village corporations have already been bankrupt. Massive land transfers will happen in 1991. And corporate takeovers, you mentioned that earlier. You know, big corporations will be coming around here and buying stock from you. I always wanted to ask this. The Act says we have 100 shares. What does one share worth? How is my share worth? How much does it worth? You mentioned, what was it now? That you could sell it for, you used the word, I can't remember it now.
Well, fair market value.
Yes. What's a fair market value? That's what I want to know. I'm sure we'll have those answers after 1985. And loss of local control and title to traditional lands. possibly mentioned that here earlier. Like Mrs. Grimness said, our land here is just mountains. So she's right, we do a lot of our subsistence from the sea. Then you people already mentioned the rights of those born since 1971. Then the corporate leaders do not listen to shareholders and vice versa. When the corporation puts out a meeting, nobody shows up. And the corporations should, you know, educate their shareholders what is happening. When this act got in effect in 1971, I didn't know anything about it till I got to Old Harbor. Then I was chosen in the corporation to be in the land planning thing, and I just stayed there another year and went to Unalaska again. So it was all just confused. Everybody was confused. They just handed the papers, here, you start something. Nobody was taught how to do it because all this was new to the people of Alaska. But since 1971, some of them made good. And I think when this thing started, literally they picked people off the street. Here, you want to be corporation president? No, okay. And he paid himself all the money he could get, and that's how some of these corporations went broke. The top man paid himself lots of money, and the lawyers took most of it. So I says, where do we go from here? Well, I like the idea of staying the 1991 thing. Stop it for a while. And another thing you said, if we stop it, we might have more problems. So that's a big question there. Said we should make the corporations more effective on behalf of the native people. And the corporation board members and the shareholders should try to know each other more and try to find out what's happening. There is no communication between the people who run the corporations and the shareholders, and vice versa again. He says, are there any policies that the corporations subscribe to do beside making profit? Are the board members really worried about their shareholders? Or they're just there to make a profit for themselves, for the outfit and for themselves so they can pay themselves more. But I think Unalaska Corporation is fortunate that they got Umeknak Island, and some of the land out of city limits belong to the corporation. Like Mr. Robinson said, they got Navy junk over there, but they replaced it with, made the homes livable. Now they rent the places and make money on it. And when the act was made up, the villages or the people weren't even asked, what do you think about this Alaska Native land claims? What do you think about it? Just a handful of people went to Washington, D.C., signed their names. And I'm glad this is happening because we want to know what happened since 1971. Are we profiting from this act? Individually, I don't think we're not profiting, but through the corporations and regionals, there are profiting. And a lot of people from outside think all the Aleuts, Eskimos, and Indians are millionaires. We are millionaires through the land itself, but other than that, we are not millionaires. So there's a big question between 1991, you know, to stop it for a while or just let it go there and sell our shares. I think according to the Act, you can sell your own share whatever way you want. It's up to the individual to do that. But I like the idea of selling it back to the corporation itself, if they can pay the market value. So, I guess the reason they passed the act so fast was the oil companies was pressuring the people to let it go through. I think if it was passed long before 71, I think we probably would got only maybe $100,000 among everybody. We don't know. But when this passed as it did, well, we got 44 million acres of land and $965 million. So I hope the corporations throughout Alaska would get that $965 million back again. Thank you.
Well, could I just ask a question, Father? Or you asked me a couple, mm-hmm. and maybe I could just struggle with them, and then perhaps I could ask you one. You said, when 1991 comes, how will it be possible to determine what a share is worth? There's been no market for 20 mm-hmm. years. That is, the shares can't be sold, so there aren't people out there saying, I'll give you this or I'll give you that. So there's no way of determining what the fair market value is. In 1991, if the shares are up for sale, then presumably offers will be made, and it will be the estimate of what those people who make offers for the shares, their estimate of what they think the corporation is worth in terms of its assets and the land it holds. But one problem is this, that some of these corporations still haven't finished selecting their land, and it's pretty hard to know what a corporation is worth when it hasn't yet got in all the assets it's entitled to. So that's a problem mm-hmm. about fair market value. The